This is Luke 10, verse 38. The story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thank you, Colton. Many of you are familiar with the term spiritual disciplines. And there's all kinds of spiritual disciplines that you may be familiar with. Spiritual disciplines such as silence, such as prayer, such as fasting. And there's many volumes of books that are written on the different spiritual disciplines that help us and aid us in our relationship with God. Well, one that I haven't heard in any of the books, and maybe it's just because I haven't read enough books, I'm not sure, but is the discipline of slow. The discipline of slow. And I think in a society that we live, you will maybe agree with me that this is very a discipline that is hard to grasp because we live in such a busy world. How many of you have cell phones? Put up your hands. Come on. Don't be shy, okay? See some seniors with their hands up. Good. How many have your cell phones with you? How many can show me your cell phone? They have them right in their hands. Yeah. Because you're reading your scripture off your cell phone, right? I knew it. That's why you have it. The cell phone is an amazing, it's not just a cell phone anymore, is it? They call them smartphones, okay? Sometimes my phone is smarter than I am because I don't know how to operate this thing. But this thing can literally make your head spin. All the different things that it can do. As I've just said, you can load your whole Bible or multiple versions of your Bible right on this little box. You can have it, this is my alarm clock, believe it or not. This morning when I woke up to harps on my cell phone because it was Sunday. Anyway, so this is my alarm. I can listen to the radio. I can tune in to Shine FM Radio in Calgary on my cell phone. Once in a while, I actually use my cell phone my smartphone as a phone. It's quite a unique opportunity. You know, you put it up to your ear, you actually dial somebody, and somebody answers the other end. So yeah, it's a pretty, but this thing keeps my attention all the time. I get my emails on here. I get text messages on here. I can go onto the internet on this thing. And everywhere I go, it's grabbing my attention. I pull it out and open it up. Well, the first thing I do is open it up and see a picture of my wife. That's pretty cool. And then if I go to my camera, then there's pictures of my granddaughter. That's pretty cool. Anyways, I got distracted there for a second. I'm sorry. But this thing goes wherever I go. Confession time. How many of you take your smartphones or your cell phones to bed with you? Some of you do. I know you do. Hey, mine sits right on my bedstead, right beside me. Haley's, she has a dock that she uses to charge her cell phone at night, and it sits right there. And the first thing that happens when you wake up, you pull over out the cell phone or the smartphone and you check Facebook. See who's done that update since you last checked it at 11 o'clock at night. And then you're disappointed when nobody else has been on there. Oh, that's too bad. Anyways, it can be very distracting, and it's in a world that is incredibly, incredibly busy. This just adds to it, and this is just one symptom of how busy our society is. Can you put that as a You're trying. Okay, sorry. Darn PowerPoint guys. Anyway. Now it's all gone. I've got it right on my phone. Anybody want to look here? It's tough to be slow, or it's tough. Where is it, guys? It's tough to be still, or tough to be slow in a busy, busy world. Our world wants us to get busier and busier. We have less time and less time, it seems, even though the 24-hour clock hasn't changed at all. We're just getting busier and busier. This morning, Colton read for us this passage from Luke chapter 10. And it is quite a unique passage. I really resonate with the characters in this passage. There's three characters, actually four characters. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. This is the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were two sisters and a brother. Now you're familiar, there's other passages with that are these three people. One is the story of Lazarus being raising from the dead, John chapter 11. So that's a very familiar passage to us. The other story is when Mary anoints Jesus' feet with perfume and washes his feet with her hair. Okay, that's another passage. The reason that there's this connection, these are Jesus' friends, and the location of where they live is actually very convenient to Jesus' ministry because it's in the town of Bethany. And Bethany is just outside of Jerusalem. We'll call it a suburb of Jerusalem. And so whenever Jesus had to go to Jerusalem on business, whether that be teaching in the temple, whether that be for Passover, whatever it was, this was a great spot for Jesus to stop and hang out for a little bit, get away from the crowds. It was very secluded, maybe some gardens and trees around. And Jesus would come and maybe stay overnight and grab a meal or two. And so the relationship that Jesus developed with Mary and Martha and Lazarus was more than just a passing relationship. It was a very deep relationship. It was a friendship. You know those friendships where, you know, you can just drop in on them and it doesn't matter. And, you know, you pull a piece of bread out and have a sandwich together or have a bowl of soup together. Those are the kinds of friends that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were with Jesus. Today, we have Jesus probably coming back from Jerusalem. And it was a very busy time. Jesus had probably just finished preaching. And maybe he'd stopped in at Mary and Martha's place on the way into Jerusalem and said, "Hey, I'll be back for supper. Yeah, I'll be in town, I'll do my thing, and then I'll stop in here for supper." So Mary and Martha are probably pretty excited that maybe Jesus, their friend, is stopping in. Now, who comes with Jesus? Who went with Jesus wherever Jesus went? No, not a cell phone. Oh. Security, can I have over here? Okay. The disciples went with Jesus. The disciple went with Jesus everywhere Jesus went. And how many disciples were there? 12. How old were Jesus' disciples? No, they weren't 30. They were probably more like 18. They were young. They were teenagers when Jesus called them. What's the appetite of an 18-year-old? They will eat anything that's put in front of them. So we have Mary, we have Martha, we have Lazarus, we have Jesus, that's four, plus 12 teenagers. Now we've got 16 people coming for dinner. Is this a small thing? No, this is not a small thing. This is a big deal. We've got 16 people coming for dinner. So what do Mary and Martha have to do? Well, let's get supper ready. So we don't want, this is Jesus, okay? Jesus is not just any ordinary guy. Jesus, this is the Son of God. We recognize him as the Son of God. He is our master. And so we want to have a special meal for him. So So, what are we going to have? Roast beef, of course. We're going to have roast beef. We're going to have mashed potatoes. We're probably going to have fresh vegetables out of the garden. Okay? Maybe we've made some... Of course we made fresh homemade bread. What else would we have when Jesus comes? Okay? This is a full meal deal. Okay? Jesus is... We want to put on the whole spread for Jesus. Does this just happen overnight? Well, maybe it does overnight, but it just doesn't happen by a snap of your fingers. It takes a lot of work. And they turned on the oven, right? No, they didn't have cell phones, so they didn't have ovens either. Well, not electric ovens or gas ovens. So they've got the fire burning so that they can put the roast in, so that they can put the bread in. And don't forget dessert. Apple pie! Of course, with fresh apples from the garden, okay? So this is a big deal. So Mary and Martha are busy preparing this meal, and they want to have everything just right, and we've got 16 people to feed, don't forget. So we got to get the table set, and we got to get out the good dishes, and the good cutlery, and the good glasses, and all that sort of stuff. And Jesus shows up. Okay, not quite ready. Gravy's not made, the potatoes aren't mashed, the vegetables didn't get on yet. Okay, we still got a few things to go. So Martha's busy, she's working away, and turns around, and where is Mary? Nowhere to be found. Okay, this is the problem. Supper's not ready, and Mary's not here. And I'm Martha, left to do everything on my own. Where did Mary go? Martha peeks her head around the corner. There's Mary. Right beside Jesus. Okay, well, this one's going to have to work a little harder. So she gets the potatoes mashed, and she's getting the gravy going, and can't forget the vegetables over here, and of course, don't forget, this is Israel. It's always hot. And I've got a fire going. And I've got the roast going. And it's not a Mary, under the tree, in the shade, with Jesus. Look at this face. This is not a happy face. Had enough. So she marches up, right in front of Jesus, and Lazarus, and Mary, and 12 guys. And she says, Jesus, look at Mary! Actually, I'm just going to read it. It's better if I... Oh. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me in the kitchen? Tell her to lend me a hand. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Is that a reasonable request? For me, more hands make light work, right? Jesus, without missing a beat, just says, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing is essential. Mary has chosen. It's the main course. Ouch. Just got a little bit of a back in the wrist. Martha, you're fussing way too much. Mary maybe has figured out what's important here. You're fussing too much. Well, Scripture doesn't exactly say what happened, but my imagination lets me give me some license to say maybe what happened. Well, Martha, she probably went back to the kitchen. She probably finished making the gravy. She probably got the vegetables in the pot. It's herbed her. Yes. Maybe with a little bit different attitude. Some of us worship God in one way. Some of us worship God in another way. I want to suggest that there are different ways that are right. Different ways that are right. These two women dealt with Jesus in very, very, very different ways. Martha was the doer. She was the one that wanted to make everything sure was perfect, that the silverware was shined, that the crystal didn't have spots on it, that the gravy didn't have lumps, that the roast was done perfectly, that the pie was in the oven, that the vegetables were there. She wanted everything just perfect because, after all, this was who? This was Jesus. Everything had to be perfect. Where Mary, on the other hand, she couldn't care less about the gravy. If it had lumps in, so be it. She wanted to be sitting right where Jesus was. And she wanted to be soaking in every single word that Jesus had to say. Maybe Jesus was retelling the events of the day. Maybe he was retelling some of the things that he taught. And Mary didn't want to miss a beat. Was one right and one wrong? I'm going to suggest no. I'm going to suggest that both Mary and Martha were right. What was wrong was Martha's attitude. And after Jesus sort of reprimanded her, I believe that Martha went back and said, yeah, you're right. I still want everything to be perfect. I still want to serve Jesus this way with non-lumpy gravy. But I've got to watch my attitude, that I do it with the right motivation. There are different ways of worshiping God. A number of years ago, I read a book entitled The Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. And this book, it really sort of really revolutionized the way that I thought about how different people relate to God. There is, I don't know what there is in this room, 150 people in this room today. And I want to suggest that there is different ways of all of us relating to God. Okay? Gary Thomas, he lists 8 different ways or pathways that we relate to God or to what we worship God. Here's 4 of them that might give you just a taste. One is the traditionalist. A traditionalist loves God through ritual and symbol. Okay? So we hang on to the things of our forefathers. Okay? We hang on, for example, you know, a symbol is the cross, okay? As we look up at that cross, I mean, as Christians, that's a very important symbol to us. And some of us will relate more with that symbol than others. And so we hang on to that symbol. Another is aesthetics, and that is loving God in solitude and simplicity. We like keeping everything simple. We don't want to complicate it with a whole bunch of books. The main book that we're going to read is going to be the Bible. We don't want to get confused with other stuff, so we just stick with the Bible. So solitude. We want to get off by ourselves. We like taking that walk. We like being alone. That's another way. An activist. Some of you are activists, and you love God by loving others. You want to keep moving. You don't want to sit still. And you feel tighter to God and closer to God the more you're doing. Right? Yeah, some of you are shaking your head. That's me, okay? Love doing that. Or the contemplative, loving God through adoration. The contemplative is the one that drives down the road with the worship music. They love worship music is something they'll just eat up. Adoration. That's the contemplative. And there's others. But the point is, none of them are wrong. And all of them are right. And I think that maybe we need to look at different, trying different things as we relate to God and as we worship God, and not just get stuck in our own little box saying, this is the only way to do it, and try to impose that on other people as well. Some of us get stuck on this whole idea of only one way to worship God. So we want to sing a certain kind of song. or we want to have a certain style of worship. And I'm going to say there's nothing wrong with any style of worship. Some say, well, I want a traditional style of worship. Well, if you want a traditional style of worship, then we'll go back to the 4th or 5th century and start with some of the monasteries, and they would have chants. I mean, that's very traditional style of worship. It doesn't matter how we worship people, does it? It matters that we worship. And if you have something coming in between you and worship, then you need to step back and check your attitude, just like who? Martha had to check her attitude. Different ways, right and right. It's tough to be still in a busy world. Second point. We only get two today, so listen carefully. First of all, there was the different ways. The second one is the distractions. It's from the important. Mary didn't let the distractions take her away from Jesus. Whereas Martha got very distracted. She got worried. She got stressed out. She got distracted from what was important. That was the worship of her Jesus. The Lord is more concerned about Martha's state of mind and priority than he is about the feast that he was to receive. What are the things that are distracting us? Special time. This is something that I struggle with my business. My wife and I, we run a mortgage brokerage, and so in this day and age, customers want instant replies to their emails and to their text messages. And this thing goes with me wherever I go, and my heart does a little flutter when I can't find my phone, right? How sad is that? Should I not just take this and put it away? And leave it away for a time? Yes, it's a tool, and I'll use that tool. It's okay, you can keep it. It's a tool. But if I let it control me, then I'm distracted. What are the things that are distracting you? Is it your business? Or your farm? Or your TV? Or your kids? Or your grandkids? Or your neighbors? Or your civic responsibilities? Or, and the list goes on and on, your homework, your schoolwork. The list goes on of different things that can distract us. And none of those things are bad in themselves. Understand that. But if they take us away from the main dish, then it's a problem. If we're too busy to commune with the Lord, to pray, study His Word, to meditate on life's purpose, to enjoy peaceful, private time with Him, then there's something horribly wrong with our practice. If our walk of faith consists mainly of going to church and then with life's busy day, then we're not receiving the goodness that the Lord has planned for us. And if we're so hassled by the routines of daily existence that we find ourselves lashing out at those who we love as Martha did on this occasion, then isn't that a good indication that something needs to be fixed? Something's broken, let's fix it. Let's get our eyes back on what's important. Let's not get distracted. And trust me, friends, it doesn't matter who you are and at what stage of life you're at, whether you're that high, whether you're 10 years old or 80 years old, there is going to be things that come that are going to continually try to distract you. And being in church on a Sunday morning is a good thing, but it's not good enough. You need to be in communion and fellowship and worship of God on Monday morning and on Tuesday morning and on Wednesday morning and Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning and afternoon and evening. We need to set aside time to actually let God speak to us. Sometimes we get down on our knees or in our prayer closets and we're so busy talking to God that we don't give God time to talk to us. God desperately wants to spend time with us. God desperately wants to talk to us and commune, a conversation. God, through His Holy Spirit, wants to speak into our lives. He wants to mold us. He wants to make us into being the men and women that He has created us to be. But we're so distracted by everything around us that we don't have time for God. And I say these things not to accuse, but because I am struggling with this all the time. This is something that God is wrestling with me with. And once I think I've got it figured out and something grabs me and fighting through it again. We have time for the Holy Spirit just to be quiet and let His Holy Spirit just rest on us. Just be in the presence of God. Different ways. Right and right. Distractions from the important. Sermon's not much good, or a message is not much good. We just go away and say, good words. The question is, what is God trying to say to you and me this morning? The question is, what are we going to take away and say, let me meditate on that. Let God just work in me through the words that God has put through Doug's mouth this morning. That's all they are. They're God's words, not mine. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is slow down. Slow down. Do an exercise here. Ready? Breathe in through your nose. Hold it. Out through your mouth. Take a breath. Step away from the hamster wheel. Be intentional of taking that solitude time, taking that time when God can speak to you. Second takeaway is, what's my primary way to worship? Am I contemplative? Am I an activist? What is the way that I relate to God the best? It's not necessarily going to be the same as my husband or wife. It's not going to be necessarily the same as the person sitting next to me. It's not necessarily going to be the same as Doug. But it doesn't matter. The important thing is that we worship, not how we worship. And then the last thing is to spend time with God. Don't jiff him, okay? If Kevin here is my friend, I will know he is my friend because he will take time and spend with me. We'll go for lunch. Go for a drive. He'll come over and we'll have small groups. Whatever. There will be times that we'll take, and again, it's time spent together that will feed and grow the relationship. Right? Try having a friendship without ever spending any time with him. Few months ago, Haley and I are discipling or mentoring a couple in Calgary, and I challenged them. I said, I think we need to spend some time alone with God. So this is what it's going to look like. We're going to book off Saturday. We're going to take a whole Saturday. We're going to jump in the car together. And in this case, we're going to drive out to Canada. Okay? Pre-flood, of course. we're going to drive out to Kananaskis, and we're going to get there, we'll be there by 10 o'clock, and I'm going to send you, so each of them went in a different direction, Haley and I went a different direction, and we're going to leave at 10, and I don't want to see anybody back here until 3 o'clock. It's 5 hours. All you can take with you is your Bible, your notebook. They were freaked out. Be by yourself. Well, what if the bears come? Bears are going to come. And if they do, just yell. I'm not that far away. But the idea of being alone, or being alone with God, is a very intimidating exercise. 10 o'clock came. Off we went in our 4 different directions. 3 o'clock came. We all came back in off our little perches or our hills or our valleys, wherever we had put ourselves for the last 5 hours. And we had a time to just to share what happened. It was a very interesting exercise. As Aaron says, it took me about 2.5 hours just to get rid of all the stuff in my head. All the thoughts, all the to-do lists, all the I should have, all the, you know how it is. It took me 2.5 hours just to get rid of the stuff. And then I started hearing God. Kat over here, or Catherine, she would say, God and I were connecting right away. But I spent the first 2 hours talking to God. And it wasn't until after that that God started speaking. I gave God the opportunity to speak back to me. And Haley and I had similar experiences where there's just so much stuff. But to take that time, set aside that time, put it away, be accountable. Think it's something you want to do? Gina says, yes, I'm going to do this. Well, she needs to be accountable to doing it. So she tells me, and I get on the phone the next week and say, did you do it? Did you actually take the time to do it? To pull away? To take that time to go? A friend of mine has a ministry called Beginning to End. One more slide here. From beginning to end. Encouraging people to I wish it was more complicated. This ministry is just walking with people in their spiritual journey. He's actually, his name is Rob Lowe, and he is my spiritual director. And sometimes we just meet and he asks me questions about my relationship with God. He asks me where God is. What God is teaching me, what God is challenging me with, where God is leading me, and it focuses me and helps me to make things a little bit more clear. He sends me away with questions to consider and things to ask, to be. Because God isn't interested in all of our abilities. Sure, He uses our abilities. God's just interested in me. God wants to have a relationship with me. When Jesus left this earth, He left us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come to rest on us. That Holy Spirit has come to live within us. We just had communion. Communion has to be one of the highlights. I love to do communion every day. Sometimes I think we should be doing communion every week. But Kevin, in his prayer, said something that struck me. He says, because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, when he shed his blood and his body was broken, now there's no animal sacrifice. You don't have to worry about those trying to please God thing, because God gave his only son on a cross that was a lot uglier than that cross. God gave his only son to shed his blood on the cross. God gave his only son for us because we're sinners. We do not deserve heaven. We do not deserve life. But because of the gift of son, we can experience eternal life. And that's the kind of relationship. God gave everything. What are we giving back today? It's tough. Still, it is worth it. Jesus for the presence. Let's go ahead and each of our hearts. Let's go ahead and each of our hearts. My prayer for myself and my friends. We would not allow things to distract us. Yes, we have jobs. Yes, we have school. Yes, we have. And all those things are good. Nothing wrong with those things. They stand in the way. Pray that we would be challenged to know how we can be closer. For each one of us, God, I know that's going to be different. And I pray that you would put the thoughts, the challenges, the questions in each of our minds that each of us needs to address. And as we're not doing this alone, as we look around this room and there's 150 other people that are maybe going down the same journey or the same road as us, I pray, God, that we would be there for each other, that it's not just about us, but that we would be there to encourage one another. And we would see the opportunities, take advantage of the opportunities to encourage and to be encouraged. I pray, God, that we would be disciplined. It's not necessarily something that comes naturally, but that we would work hard at the discipline of slow, the discipline of taking the time, the discipline of not being distracted. Father, we're not doing this on our own. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit to encourage us. Holy Spirit to guide. Thank you. Thank you for these words. Thank you for Mary, Martha, Lazarus. I pray that your word